I have a really expansive view of what counts as content. Everybody put it on this pedestal of like, it has to be the most helpful and the most comprehensive and the highest quality. You're actually trying to drive an outcome with a human behind the screen, not just create an asset. Commenting is the lowest barrier to entry. It's the easiest thing to do, and it builds relationships, particularly if you don't sell.
Hey there, billionaire. Yep, I'm talking to you. If you expect to live another 31 years, you're already a billionaire. Not in money, but in the real measure of wealth. Time. That's because 31 years is roughly a billion seconds. But most of us waste time in ways we'd never waste money. The currency of time billionaires is micromoments. The 90-second to 15-minute gaps hidden between the structured parts of your day. This podcast is about reclaiming them with quick, research-backed ideas to help you feel more creative, productive, and alive. Welcome to Time Billionaires. Let's make your next micro moment count. Thanks for joining today's episode of the Time Billionaires podcast. Our guest today is Ashley Faust, the head of lifecycle marketing at Atlassian and author of Human-Centered Marketing: How to Connect with Audiences in the Age of AI. Her work focuses on how trust, community, and thoughtful communication drive real influence, not just clicks, in a world overloaded with content. She's also a speaker and writer whose work has appeared in Time, Forbes, and the Harvard Business Review. Thanks for being here, Ashley.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Super happy you're here. And I was sharing before we hit record that you're actually the very first person who turn on in my mind how quick content creation could be. So when we met at HubSpot Inbound, a conference in 2024, where we were both speaking, but not together, you shared at the speaker's lounge how you comment when you're at the gym. It can be 20 minutes here and there when you have something else going on. And that was a big unlock for me because I had seen creating content for LinkedIn as being this big hours-long ordeal that needed dedicated time beforehand. So I was hoping you could share how you think about building connection and creating quality content, even if you don't have big chunks of time to do it.
Yeah, I love that. It's so funny. I have a really expansive view of what counts as content. And I think the double-edged sword of the rise of content marketing and the inbound methodology, you know, a decade or so ago, is that everybody put it on this pedestal of like, it has to be the most helpful and the most comprehensive and the highest quality, right? And we forget that we create content all the time. We write it on whiteboards. We say it in conversations. We put it in Slack messages. We put it in emails. Coming from Atlassian, we put it on Confluence pages, right? We create content all the time. And so I think that when you switch that mindset to understand that content is not this big, scary, you know, 20 page long, 10,000 word ebook or this, you know, hour long webinar, that's the big mindset shift. You can create that connection to either educate, entertain, build a relationship, right? It's really about the thing you're trying to do, not the thing you're trying to produce. So I think that's one of the big mindset shifts, is realizing that you're actually trying to drive an outcome with a human behind the screen, not just create an asset that, as we talked about in the bio, drives clicks just for buy intent.
Yeah, reasons. I think you're so right. And I think realizing how human a lot of our experiences are, paradoxically, I had two thoughts from your insight. One is like, I'm not that special. So the thoughts that I have are pretty relatable to other people. But the flip side is, they're still worth sharing, right? I kind of had this, is that really interesting enough to share, barrier to entry for me of like, I don't know, is that actually interesting or novel or unique? But it's relatable, right? So scrolling through the photo reel or the camera roll on my phone, finding a picture of my daughter and sharing a reflection I have looking at it. Somebody doesn't have to have a kid or have been for that experience for those thoughts to be relevant. And so I think you do a really interesting job of just piecing the humanness through it. It doesn't have to be perfect, polished, et cetera, but it also doesn't have to be the most unique insight that no one's ever heard before to be worth sharing or building connection around.
Yeah. I think the other thing too, you know, the idea that, you know, everything's already been done, there's nothing new under the sun. Everybody's already said the same idea or the same thought. The difference is that it hasn't been said by you in the way that you say it and informed by your experience, your expertise, the outcomes that you've been able to drive, right? And so one of the things that I try to do is share the context for anything that I talk about. So I say, oh, I currently work for an enterprise company. We've got, you know, 15,000 employees. I currently work in SaaS. I've been, all of my tech experience is in SaaS, right? So you might have a different experience if you're on the consumer side or if you work for a startup or a smaller company. But because I've given you that specific context, you're able to filter the advice or the recommendations that I give you through your own context, but you can learn from somebody who's slightly in a different space, right? The other big thing I talk about in this vein is finding the people both to kind of follow and engage with who are 1 to 2 steps ahead of you and 1 to 2 steps behind you. So I think a lot of people go try to find somebody who's 10 steps ahead. And they're like, I'm going to look at somebody that's got millions of followers and has owned their own business for 20 years. And they're making, you know, tens of millions of dollars in revenue. They're managing a huge team of 20 employees. And it's like, okay, well, if you just graduated college and you're just now starting on social media, you're just now starting your career, in my case, in marketing, right? Like, it doesn't make sense. You're going to be in a completely different place from skills, experience, network, all of those things than somebody who's 10, 20, 50 steps ahead of you. Instead, if you pick somebody who's just a couple of steps ahead, there's probably some actionable advice in there that you can take for yourself. And so I think that's the other thing to your point. Yes, there's the relatability factor, but it's also people can hear things in a different way because of who you are as a person and depending on your context, you know, what they can adapt. One of my favorite things is to look at adjacent fields and be like, what cool thing are they doing over there? What new thing are they doing over there? And then thinking about how that applies to my own field. And so in some cases, I might share an insight that's not new to the original place where it was discovered. Like, let's say it's in psychology or it's in design thinking or it's in systems thinking, but it might be new given the context for my audience. So there's, I think the relatability and I think the slight tweak when you start sharing your personal experiences really changes how people hear, understand, and then incorporate the information.
It's so true. Yeah, I have so many thoughts from that. The first one is, I think a lot of that, like the controversial, not even echo chamber, just like the back and forth of people often is because we lack that context. If somebody will make some blanket statement without context, without real nuance, and somebody will either say that does ring true to my experience or it doesn't and have very strong feelings about it. But most of that advice isn't good or bad. It's contextual and it's nuanced. And I think that's where a lot of, to use your example of people who are just getting started in their career, get stuck, is they'll hear something like, you need to know your worth and advocate for it, and then get really firm and rigid in a script they bring to their manager, which doesn't sound conversational. It is good advice to know your worth and advocate for it, and then nuance how you apply it and make it human and make it your own. But to this point of finding people who are 1 to 2 steps ahead, 1 to 2 steps behind in adjacent industries, I think it's easy, especially with platforms that we're new to just sort of get passive with what the algorithm shows us. How do you find those people? How do you curate your feed like that?
So for me, I'm much more intentional about this on LinkedIn. I kind of let the Instagram algorithm show me whatever it's going to show me. I think what a lot of people don't understand is that, sorry, go ahead.
Why the difference for you? Why do you treat LinkedIn and Instagram differently?
Yeah. So for me, LinkedIn is the primary platform where I'm trying to build a presence and where I want to be seen as an expert in my field. And the goal there is a professional goal. Instagram for me, I tend to be more of a lurker. Like I basically don't comment, don't like anything. There's people that I follow that I've been following for years and I've literally never commented, never engaged on their content. I know I'm like the terrible person where I'm like, please come engage on my LinkedIn. But then on Instagram, I don't. And I think for me, Instagram is also the place where I kind of just let my hobbies show up. And so I follow a lot of fitness influencers. I follow a lot of bakers. I follow a lot of singers and voice coaches there. And so LinkedIn for me is just more of my like, all right, let's keep it focused on marketing with the occasional personal bit. And then Instagram is like, I don't know, run wild on whatever the algorithm thinks I should know about my hobbies. So yeah, I think it's just the intention in terms of how, like, what I'm trying to get out of it for myself between the two platforms.
Yeah, that's huge. I love that. The intentionality is relatable to this, but really to anything. And one of the things that often happens when I tell people the concept behind Time Billionaires is almost this like sheepish, like, oh, I still scroll social media passively. And then I'm not anti-social media in any way. I think it's fantastic for lots of reasons. And not least of all, helping us maintain or build connections with people, right? You and I live in different states. We met in a year and a half ago, right? We've been able to stay connected almost weekly because we have similar ideas and similar thoughts. I think that's awesome. Friends from high school, the intentionality and the goals of what you're using your time for is, I think, just such a good point. And the beauty of social media and any platform is deciding what you want to get out of it and then being intentional about what you put back into it, which you've done.
Yeah. And I think in terms of curating my feed on LinkedIn, I think that a lot of people don't understand how much emphasis the LinkedIn algorithm puts on your engagement. So if I follow somebody, if I like their content, if I comment on their content, LinkedIn will then show me more of that content and then will also show me more of that person. And then if that person is commenting and engaging and whatever, then it'll also start to say like, okay, Ashley thinks Rebecca shares smart things. She generally likes Rebecca's point of view. That means if Rebecca is commenting on something, maybe Ashley would like to see that as well, right? And so then I start to see like, oh, Rebecca's engaging on this post. I'm going to go look at that post. And then if I like it and I engage on it, then LinkedIn is like, haha, we found somebody that maybe Ashley would like to see more of, right? So when people get upset that their feed is trash or that they're like, I don't want to see this, it's just sales pitches, I'm like, have you actually gone in and hidden posts that you don't want to see? Have you actually gone in when you meet somebody in an event? Again, we're the perfect example, right? We met at Inbound 2024. We could have just not connected on LinkedIn. We could just not comment on each other's stuff. We could just not DM each other. If that was the case, I would not continue to see your stuff, right? And I wouldn't see what you engage in that kind of brings me in and expands my horizons of the content that I can consume. So if you're brand new to LinkedIn, you're just now coming on, you haven't touched it at all, my first recommendation is if you've been to a recent event or you've listened to a podcast recently and you liked what the guest said, go to their LinkedIn profile, scroll through their last couple of posts, leave some comments, you know, leave a reaction, ring their notification bell so you can start to see them. Go through the posts that they have engaged on, and that will also help you find people that, you know, it's I like Rebecca. Rebecca likes this other person. Maybe I'll like them. So that would be my first step. If you've never touched LinkedIn at all, but you're consuming content in other spaces and you like the conference speaker, you like the podcast speaker, you have colleagues that you know are active on LinkedIn and they're now at another company, go connect with them, go follow them. And that's a good way to start kind of curating that feed.
Yeah, it really is. And it doesn't take that much time. You've talked about doing this in 5 to 10 minute blocks while you're at the gym on an exercise machine. So if someone has just 5 to 10 minutes, you talk in your book about this shift in your mind from just broadcasting to actually building community, which is building a connection. And let's say someone has, let's say, just 5 or 10 minutes, I don't know, waiting in a doctor's office, et cetera. What do you think they should do with that time? Is it just exactly what you described, commenting, or is there something else that you want people to do in short blocks to get started to build that connection?
Yeah. From my perspective, commenting is the lowest barrier to entry. It's the easiest thing to do, and it builds relationships. Think about finding people who generally talk about topics that you are interested in. If you know people, you know somebody was looking for a job and you heard that they got a new job, maybe they announced that on LinkedIn. Go say congratulations, right? So be genuinely excited for somebody that won an award or that got a new job or got a promotion or, you know, even the cheeky post where someone's like, I have returned from vacation and I feel refreshed, right? Like, just leave a note to be like, hey, welcome back. And depending on kind of your relationship with that person, you might say like, you've missed a lot of things. Let me tell you, here's what we're arguing about, right? So you wouldn't show up to a meeting with your peers or a meeting with your boss and be like, hello, Rebecca, how are you today? in today's news, I would like to sell you something. Like, that would just be weird. You know, you wouldn't do that in real life. So you shouldn't do that on LinkedIn. So yeah, I think commenting, and if you've done the work to kind of curate your feed, for me, within 5 to 10 minutes, if I give my feed a quick scroll, I can find at least one, often two or three posts where I can leave some kind of comment. And it doesn't have to be, you know, selling my book or selling Atlassian. It can just be congratulations or, oh, I have a lot of thoughts on this. Like, here's a couple of my initial thoughts.
Part two of this two-part episode is coming to you next week. Thanks for spending this micro moment with me. If you found it valuable, share it with a fellow time billionaire and give us a rating to help others discover the power of micro moments. For more ways to reclaim your time, check out timebillionaires.org and follow me, Rebecca Shaddix, on LinkedIn. See you next time.